Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, that is the beautiful horn of Nazim Rashid. This is your dear Professor Applewhite talking to you live this morning from beautiful Arizona. This is such a beautiful state. There's such a variety of weather conditions here. I guess I'm doing a promo for Arizona, aren't I? I just love it here. I love living here. And you go up north and you've got cooler weather. You go a little bit south and you've got more of the heat that people are always discussing about how hot it is in Arizona. But I'll tell you something. It's really wonderful to be in this state, and they should put me on as a promotional person for the state because that's how much I love living here. This morning, we're going to be discussing a very interesting topic this morning, why violence is increasing among students. And this is going to be a continued broadcast. The reason why is because there is such an urgency to discuss this connection. You know, we talk about students with disabilities a lot, and when you're connecting mental illness with, of course, students with disabilities that have mental illness, and you're connecting that with violence, then there's reason for us to take a step back and look at what is the correlation, what is the relationship, and what's going on out there in our society that would take us steps backwards, thinking that when someone's diagnosed with mental illness, that they indeed may become violent people. It's not true. It's not true that just because someone has mental illness or is diagnosed with any kind of mental illness, from depression to anxiety to even schizophrenia, is going to pick up an AK-47 and walk into a classroom or parking lot or a movie theater and start shooting people. Actually, there's a very fine line, and I know that there's a fine line. Many of you have noticed it, a fine line between love and hate, and a fine line between mental illness and actual evil. That's right, I said it, folks, evil. There are people in this world that truly do things because they are just evil. And the only way that I can explain evil is anti-God. There's God and there's love, and then there's anti-God and anti-love. And I'm not talking about religion in this sense. I'm talking about the attitude of wanting every human being to live as productively and have the same quality of life that you have. And when you take that quality of life away from an individual by hurting them and causing fear, then that is not necessarily associated. That's not in a relationship with mental illness. I'll tell you something. I have worked with students with mental illness for many, many years, and violence is so minimal. It's more increased in the general population than it is among students who are actually diagnosed. Now, we have an ongoing joke in psychology that says that there are two types of people in the world, the diagnosed and the undiagnosed. Well, that's a joke. The issue is that there are people in the world that are undiagnosed, that is true. But when we find, when we do the test, when we do the assessment to find out what's really going on, we find that people with mental illness are not necessarily violent, not necessarily prone to violence, but actually victims of violence. Now, we're going to talk more about that in upcoming episodes, but this morning I have special guests that are joining us, and I want to make sure that we have enough time for them, because due to travel arrangements, my show has been cut down to about 30 minutes today. So I will be leaving you sooner than I thought. But we have some special guests lined up, and one of them is Chip Stoker. He's with the Ability Center, and he'll be joining us this morning. And then we have a student that will be calling in and sharing some of her experiences with success, and we'll be asking her what she thinks about the topic also. So I do have this someone on the switchboard now, and I want to make sure that that's not one of our guests calling in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. 985.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. And what is your name?
Lenora.
Oh, this is Lenora. Wonderful.
Yes.
You are one of our guests this morning, Lenora, and I really appreciate you calling in and being able to speak a little bit about your background. What do you think, first off, before I even get into anything about your background, this subject that I just mentioned is a frightening subject that's going on right now throughout the world as far as violence increasing among students and the way that people feel about mental illness. And that's inclusive now of people with epileptic seizures. And I know that there's a time in our history, and I teach this, a time in our history when people were put away for having seizures and put away for any kind of anything that was called a bizarre behavior. And that was depending on the culture that you were raised in. And even now today, we find that they're still labeling and stereotyping that's hurting people. You find that too?
Yes, I do. And it's sad to say that they're categorizing people in that situation when it's really not true. And when people seek out for themselves to find out where a person really stands having seizures, it comes, it's a wide variety. And
mm-hmm.
They're starting to stabilize people in just one actual point as being having very mentally problems when that
mm-hmm.
is not so.
Well, yeah, and you know, the bottom line is that there's no perfect brain. And so we all have some imbalances in our brains. And so that's one thing that needs to be said out there, is that when we're looking at each other, we're looking at a reflection of ourselves. And so there's no way that we can feel this sense of that we're perfect or better than anyone else, because we all have issues that we're dealing with. I haven't met one person yet that's not dealing with some kind of disability issue, whether it's mental or physical. And I stress the dis in the disability, because the only thing we're doing with dis is dissing out an ability that someone may have. And that means that you have one thing that you can do and that you can do very well, and another thing that you do even better, and some things that maybe you don't do at all, but that you need accommodations to do. But one thing for sure is I haven't found anybody yet that doesn't have something that they're dealing with. So we have to be real careful of this labeling and stereotyping that's going on, especially with mental illness and the increase in violence among students, among our people in our society. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes. Totally. Yes,
now,
I agree.
You yourself, I'm going to have you talk a little bit about yourself and your background in just a moment, because I had cut the show down today to a half an hour show, and I have another guest that I want to bring on before I start talking about your particular circumstances, because you know I have some questions to ask you, Lenora, right?
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So just one moment, and I'm going to bring in, I believe, our guest for this morning here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Professor Applewhite, this is Chip Stecker.
Hello, Chip Stecker, and I was hoping that you would call in this morning, and so that we'd be able to discuss with you a couple of things. One, that you are a veteran, and we appreciate
ma'am.
You saying, okay? And, you know, I hear that a lot, too. People will tell me that, and I'll have to take a second look at myself and say, yeah, that's right, I did serve. But it's hard to think about serving when you weren't in actual combat. But every day that we woke up, that we were in the service, we were under a certain regimen, and we had to be at readiness. Isn't that right?
That's correct. And we all served in our own way, and I think that's what's important. I mean, as a Vietnam-era veteran, I was in the medical corps in the Navy as a corpsman. And, you know, I always said, well, I wasn't there on the front lines as some of my fellow corpsmen were with the Marines, but I was able to serve in, you know, treating more definitively. I worked in an operating room, so, you know, I saw people as they came back from the battlefield, and, you know, somebody pointed out to me one day what an honorable way to serve, to help those people. You know, I felt like, well, I didn't really serve on the front lines, but then it was brought out to me that, you know, I did serve by helping
yes,
those people
did.
Who became disabled.
And we thank you for that. And speaking of disabled, our topic today was about the connection that people are making with students with disabilities who are diagnosed with mental illness. And it's an ongoing show, an ongoing topic that we'll be doing for a while, because we've got so much stuff going on out there with people shooting up students in schools, and now where it's spreading to movie theaters. And, you know, one of the things that I'm a little concerned about is even the stigma, the stereotype that's going on about soldiers returning with PTSD and becoming violent. And they did that to a lot of soldiers that came back from Vietnam, and they stereotyped them as violent, you know, people. And I thought that was so unfair. And I see that happening again now. Do you see that also?
Yes, we deal with a lot of veterans in the business I'm in now. And, you know, I think in general, though, we tend to label people, and we feel like we have to put labels on people all the time. And whether we label them as PTSD or disabled or mentally challenged, for some reason, I think our society feels like we have to put everybody in a bucket. And that's what bothers me more than anything. We're all just people. You know, and we all have our own abilities and disabilities.
A little bit that happens with that boxing and that stereotyping is that I believe that the way our brains work, it's only natural with the amount of information that's coming in all the time that we become flustered with the amount of information that comes in. And so we have to, in some way, categorize things. But what I hear you saying is that there's also this negative stereotyping that goes on. And that's what becomes so harmful. Because we do process information. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's the issue, is we don't have to... And, you know, I think we all have our, I agree with you, we all have our internal hard drives, and we fragment them. And we put all these things in these fragmented buckets, much as a computer hard drive works in our brain. And when we look at these, I think the biggest thing that frustrates me is we just don't accept people for who they are and help them deal with their issues or abilities and try to find a way to be, you know, to have conversations, to make yourself part of their life, to not be afraid to talk to somebody. Oh, he has PTSD, so I can't talk to him one-on-one, or, you know, or this person has a mental illness. Yeah, I don't know how to communicate with him. And you just communicate with him.
And a lot of that is because of the social, the media, and the way that things are explained in the media and things are shown in the media. And so shows like this, our radio show, I believe, as a mission, is to educate people about the other side of that, and that there is no reason to feel that violence is necessarily associated with those who have mental illness, and bring that reality home. We'll have some guests on later on in September that will be from the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill that will expound a little bit more on that. Now, because of the sake of time this morning, what I wanted to do was I asked you to come on specifically from the Ability Center, and I want to have a full interview with you, Chip, about what the Ability Center does, and I'd like to do that on another show where I can give you more time. But today I wanted to really get into what this red shirt is, red shirt program is, that's coming out for veterans. And I wanted to kind of promote that because we have a lot of veterans with disabilities who listen to the show.
Yeah. Red Fridays is a program, and you can go to redfriday.org, and it is a program where businesses around the country and hopefully around the world are supporting our troops. And the premise is our troops spill red blood for us. We can recognize them as, you know, just by wearing red shirts on Fridays in your business. And in our place of business, the Ability Center here in Phoenix, we all wear a red shirt that simply has a stencil on the back that says support our troops. I found the idea from another business that I work with, and I went in one day on a Friday, and they're all wearing red shirts, and they were selling them, and I thought, man, what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I built a veterans tribute wall in our place of business, and I asked every veteran that we do business with to come in and sign it. And they really appreciate it. Now, many of ours are in wheelchairs and bilateral amputees. And, you know, they really feel privileged and honored. And it's a way for us to make an effort to go out and say thank you for your service.
Mm.
And I think the biggest thing is just to demonstrate that. And as, you know, you and I met yesterday, and I thought, you know, everybody in my office is going to wear their red shirt. I'm going to wear it to the event, you know, we were at yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught a lot of attention. And it was,
yes, like it caught a lot of attention. And there, that website, again, is Red Friday.
Red, yes, let me, you know, I'm just going to look at it real quick. I thought it was just redfridays.org, but
mm-hmm.
I'll punch it in and I'll give it to you exactly.
Okay.
Red Fridays.
We appreciate you as a business in the community, though, making the stand to say, you know, I want to bring attention to this now.
Yeah,
okay.
The website is redshirtfridays.org. It's just redshirtfridays.org.
Uh-huh.
And that explains very well, better than I can articulate, what businesses are trying to do.
So anybody that has, if you're an employee that's out there and you're listening to the show, talk to your employer. Go to the website and look at what's going on with that and talk to your employer about wearing red shirts on Fridays to honor our troops. That would be a really great idea to promote. In addition to the fact, I do want to make sure that I give you great kudos for the work that you're doing with people with disabilities, and especially being that you run a company, Ability Center, and you're the sales and management person there. And what I'd like to do is to have you put together a couple of people from your own arena and see if they could come on and talk about some of the success stories that have happened. You told me a couple of them yesterday, and it was just wonderful to hear about how people can gain mobility and start driving again and getting back in and to feeling a sense of independence. So we thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Dr. Raffel. And I will certainly do that. I'll, you know, get a couple of our customers who have, I feel we've changed their lives by getting them back out in the workforce and being productive.
Yes. We appreciate you. We appreciate you joining us this morning on the radio show. And for any of our callers that are waiting, if you could hold your calls until about 10:30, we'll be ending the show about 10:30, and that would be great. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Raffel.
All right. Thank you very much, Chip, for joining us this morning. Lenore, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Lenore, we really appreciate the fact that you waited some time. Wouldn't it be great if we could have red shirts, that kind of recognition out there for all of the issues that are going on in our world, that where people would just pick a day and bring recognition to those issues? It'd be great.
Definitely.
Wouldn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your your background, Lenora, and your association with success in the workforce. I'd like to hear a little bit about that, and I think our listeners will. That's why they tune into Student to Teacher, because we're all students and teachers at some time in our life, and we're learning from each other and teaching each other.
Okay.
So teach us something about you and what you want people out there to hear.
Okay. Well, Professor, I actually had most of my life had a seizure disorder, but as with people that I've been around have been helping me to keep a positive attitude to see that there is a future in front of me. And by them doing that, it helped me to stay, to continue having that positive attitude and stay focused to where I want to go and what I want to do for the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now you've come to me as a student under White Apple Institute, and you have grown tremendously. I've watched you blossom, and I'm very intrigued because I never feel that I am doing anything particularly unique except helping you to replant your seed, because we all have a seed that was planted somewhere in us of motivation and encouragement and love and support. Most of us have that at the very beginning of our lives somewhere, and then somehow along the way of our development, it gets snatched away and it needs to be refertilized. And hopefully we've been part of refertilizing for you. And so what has happened to you since the counseling sessions have ended as a student? What have you been doing? Yes. Well, I mean, you're still going to be a student of White Apple Institute,
mm-hmm.
but what has happened to your life since we stopped talking on a continuous basis? What has been the result of that?
Well, actually, I got more involved into keeping a positive attitude, and I got involved into finding more work. And because of my background, having a seizure disorder, I'm an entrepreneur. So I enjoy working for myself, working for people, and creating more work for myself and for others. And one of them that I
go ahead.
One of that I have succeeded at and recently is getting into the networking company that deals with electricity, and that's in deregulated states.
You said something about home. I remember you're saying to me that as an entrepreneur now, that has become an easier route for you, working from home. I remember that's how you had said that, and that
yes.
you suggest that to some people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what I chose with the networking company that I deal with, dealing with that electricity, because everyone uses it on a daily basis, and it's to help me to open up more to the public and to share what I concern can do for others.
And the stereotype out there is that if someone has a seizure disorder, they're not supposed to be able to do anything. There's a lot of people that are still afraid of people with seizure disorders. Isn't that true? We've dealt with that, haven't we?
Well, yes, and that's why when Chip had brought that out, when people go through certain situations, it's not that we still can't do anything, that we have to freeze and stop from moving forward, but we have to live just like everyone else. And so for us to move forward, we have to keep a positive attitude and making sure that we stay focused.
Right. That's right. And definitely eliminate the underlying anger that builds up from a lot of people have it. A lot of people have a lot of anger that builds up because of what they're going through in life, and because of the disabilities that they face, because of the way society looks at them. And it's very, very sad that we don't have a sounding board. And hopefully this show serves as a sounding board.
Well, I hear all the experts, and I don't think you can.
Go ahead, Chip. You were saying something, Chip?
Yeah, there should be.
Oh, okay. That we create this show to have a sounding board. And that we have at the end of our show here, like I said, we're cutting our show short today, and I'm really sorry to say that. We will be back next week with more time for you. Just hold on the line, Lenore, because I believe I have a caller that's coming in to share something
okay.
that's very important for our listeners. Good morning, 202.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning. And your name is?
Greg.
Hello, Greg. And what did you want to say this morning about either the topic or any success story that you want to share with us?
Well, the topic, why violence is increasing among our youth. I have my own opinion.
Go ahead.
I think the reason why is because of single-parent households.
Mm-hmm.
And until we address that problem, I think these kids are not balanced. Because, you know, when you raise a kid, mother and father, that's like the salt and the pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, that actually balances kids out. So we have mostly women raising boys or girls. You don't get the proper balancing of kids, and that's why these kids
mm-hmm.
are emotionally unbalanced and unstable. So we can throw money at this problem, have all these studies and all these professors, and you got. But the problem is, until we get an intact family, we're going to continue to have these problems, and they're not going to end until our society is going to collapse, which is what's happening. Our society is actually
mm-hmm.
collapsing right in front of
right.
our eyes. People don't understand that. And if you really want to put the blame, I mean, you have to put it at this matriarchal society. It's not working. We need to go back. I don't mean that, you know, man has to run everything, but we need that system seems it was working for us.
Well,
you know,
I hear you saying
yeah.
balance, too. I hear you saying
yeah.
balance, too, and that,
balance,
that's important.
Yes.
Yes, the matriarchal and the patriarchal family. And I think that that's true for when we talk about people as a whole. One of the things that I try to avoid on the show is speaking to people with disabilities as if they are different from, as if we are different from the whole of society. And a lot of people will say to me, why don't you focus more on disability and disability? I don't want to focus on disability. I want to talk to people without looking at their disability, without looking at the stereotypes of students with violence and mental illness. I want to look at the things that you're talking about, even about really getting into how we can change the way that society is developing and is actually destroying itself. I shouldn't say developing, it's destroying itself. And I'm an optimist, and I hope you join me with that. I hope you join me in an optimistic viewpoint.
You know, I would love to be an optimist, but
mm-hmm.
since I work with kids, I used to, not anymore, but I'm actually a pessimist. I don't think things are going to get any better. I honestly don't, because I don't think people really understand the problem out here. They really don't see it. They seem to think that if we just keep having all these studies and professors and keep medicating these kids, that somehow we can find our way out of this. And I really believe that it's going to take men, I hate to say this, to solve this problem. It's going to take men to solve the problem. I don't think women can do it, to be honest.
Okay.
I hate to say this, but that's who's trying to solve the problem. And
well,
I think that women got to just,
you
know,
I'm
just sorry,
but
I think women got to just step aside.
Mm-hmm.
And just,
okay.
They got to just,
and we're
gonna just step
aside. Your opinion on that. And we're going to hope that we'll come back to some
yeah.
balance, because I thought that that's what you were saying at the very
balance,
beginning.
Yes, balance. We definitely need balance right now.
All right.
And
well, so we thank
we
you very much
balance.
For calling in today.
Okay.
And we certainly appreciate that. We're going to be continuing with this subject, and I hope we call in again. All of the listeners out there will call in again and listen to some of our success stories. We have an interesting radio show that just goes into a number of topics. And we thank you so much, Lenora, for joining
okay.
us. Hope you'll come
okay.
back on the show. We
thank
you,
too.
Thank you. Greg, and thank you
yeah.
so much.
I appreciate it. Hey,
from Ability
hey.
Center for calling
Hello?
In. Thank you so much. And we close out with some music from Wes Ricks this morning. And love and peace to all of you.